Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you. And I'm going to just cut right to the story. Because now I'm paranoid of influencing anyone after researching this story. You know what? Influence yourselves. Read the fine print. Look beyond a golden hour Instagram image. Because, wow. It's a bad, bad world out there if you're not careful.
She becomes the poster girl for the alternative wellness industry. There's an award-winning app and a cookbook. Belle Gibson has made it. Except it's all a lie, a great big lie. She doesn't have cancer, never did.
I didn't trade in my story or in other people's lives.
You did trade in your story. Belle, it's all here.
It is
all here. You know, you go on Instagram in 2013. I have been healing a severe and malignant brain cancer for the past few years with natural medicine, Gerson therapy and foods. It's working for me.
It is.
And if any... you didn't have brain cancer.
No, I didn't.
No.
But when I was writing that, I thought that I did and I was feeling well.
Yes, but even then you misrepresented what you thought was your truth, which was all a big lie. Anyway.
I'm really sorry. It was a box, a machine with lights on the front, and that machine was apparently German technology. There's two metal pads, one that goes below the chair and one that goes behind your back, and then that measures what I believe or remember to be frequencies.
And what were the results?
Now, to not only find this story, which is heinous, but also very sad and confusing and rabbit hole inducing. So for the original part I was researching, that rabbit hole sent me towards something that has been grinding my gears for at least the last 5 years, or whenever Goop became popular, or health gurus popped up on my Instagram that I recognized from when I first lived in LA and actually went to clubs, and they were the same people I used to watch dance on tables at clubs and come back from a long bathroom jaunt of snorting cocaine off a dirty toilet seat. Fine, people can change, sure. But should we be getting serious medical advice from Porcelain Polly, who snorted her way through the 2010s, just because now she's holding a matcha tea latte on a beach with a Reiki shaman burning sage under the Tuscan sun behind her? Should we really be getting advice from that person? Or an actual scientist? Doctor? People who have dedicated their entire lives to grueling and tedious research that, well, at least in my family's case, saved my dad's life. No sob story here, don't worry. Also, my dad is one tough SOB. That stands for son of a bitch. And if he heard some of the things Our Lady Belle Gibson, who inspired this episode. One might say she's the subject of the entire thing, but we're going down a rabbit hole before we get to Belle. But if he heard just one of the things that Belle spewed off, I think he'd go into the woods and never see civilization again. And I wouldn't blame him, because many of us don't have the time, resources, let's say self-indulgence chip, to spew off and practice some of the things that Belle Gibson is promoting. Here are just a few of her musings and fear-mongerings. She says, "I wouldn't get into a warm bath after learning about the chemicals you absorb from unfiltered water." Okay, very extreme. And then this one, she told Australian Women's Weekly. She says she's passionate about avoiding gluten, dairy, and coffee, but doesn't really understand how cancer works. Then stop telling other people how to treat their cancer? And now for the sin. Today we are adding an eighth deadly sin. Sure, this sin could be lumped under pride or greed, maybe even lust, but for today's episode, we are giving it its own sin. Vanity. Vanity for vanity's sake. Now, before it sounds like I'm going to tear this person apart, I must state up top, she is a roller coaster. There are many times, even when I know she's lying, but I still feel bad for her. And then many times when I hear the gravity of what she lied about and how if she actually was sick, deathly sick, terminally sick, like she said, she wouldn't have been this glossy image we see today. So it begs the question, who's vain? The influencer? Or us as a society? Or both? Are we more comfortable seeing a vision of a healthy young woman who says she's passionate about avoiding gluten, dairy, and coffee, but doesn't really understand how cancer works? Or a woman, man, anyone really, showing the ravages of chemotherapy and surgeries that at least have a shot of saving them in this day and age? Oftentimes do. Sure, eat healthy, maintain a healthy mind. Miracles do happen every day, but don't expect them in the form of a bold-faced liar souped up on goji berries. Because this topic took me down such a rabbit hole, and because Belle is so much to unpack, and so is her family, and so is the heartbreaking impact she had on very sick people, and so is the complex nature of Belle. Is she mentally ill herself? Is this a case of Munchausen by media? So in order to unpack this properly, today's episode is going to focus on the wellness influencer community and some dangerous and even tragically fatal cases of wellness taken too far and wellness playing in the wrong arena that they just weren't trained for. And then next week is the multiplex that is Belle Gibson.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Wellness gurus and food influencers are not just resigned to women. There are men, athletes, A-list celebrities, even doctors that I believe maybe went a little bad. They know the science, but you know, having to work in a practice day in and day out is fine, worth the paycheck, but what if it could be easier? What if you could hawk a miracle plan, miracle cure? Hell, just champion and write a book about one abundantly available vegetable, like broccoli. Oh no, but then you might be met with someone who makes a whole lot more sense to me than the people saying chia seeds can save your life. A man by the name of Tim Crow, a nutritional scientist. In 2015, he penned the boldest blog post of his career up until that point. It was titled, "Broccoli is bad for you, like really toxic bad." It seems many who saw that jaw-dropping title must have skimmed the article or barely read it at all before going into a panic on how much broccoli they'd been eating, feeding their children, even looking at. And some also said he was crazy to write that about broccoli because it's great. Those people might have slightly gotten his point, but still probably didn't read the whole article. Because the line directly after that states, "Don't believe the headline. Broccoli is one of the healthiest foods you can eat. But as case study into how we become needlessly fearful of eating many foods, I will show you how by selectively citing some scientific research and blowing it all out of context, you can build a case for any food being toxic, even wholesome broccoli. Yes, broccoli is bad for you." He goes on to state, "If you have a small amount of scientific nous, it is super easy to mount a case for any food or nutrient being harmful and toxic by selectively quoting scientific research. Grains, soy, gluten, and even sugar are the current faves here. The internet proliferates with opinion pieces quick to vilify particular foods and nutrients as being the cause of many of our health problems by overcooking. One side of the research evidence. To show you how this is done, I can present for you a masterclass on this art form on how you can turn a perfectly healthy broccoli into one of the most toxic foods a person can eat. After I do that, I'll give you some practical tips on how to spot when it is being done and what you should really be concentrating on for best health." And I'm quoting this directly because it is his brilliant idea and, you know, research-based approach to this and this whole parody he set up. So then he says, "So read on as I lift the lid on the toxic chemical soup that is broccoli and explain why every mouthful you eat is pushing you even faster to an early grave." And then he writes, "Commence parody of creating fear of food. Toxic broccoli. You've been told since you were a child that eating broccoli is good for you. Sorry to break it to you, but your parents lied to you. Have you ever stopped and questioned on what basis this advice comes from? Broccoli certainly gets the health halo for being a green vegetable. But when you start to dig a bit deeper, an alarming picture emerges for just how bad broccoli is for you. To start with, broccoli is a well-described goitrogen. Goitrogens are chemicals that suppress the function of the thyroid gland by interfering with iodine uptake, a key mineral needed to make the thyroid hormone. This blocking of iodine uptake causes the thyroid gland to enlarge. A goiter is the end result. Broccoli is loaded with goitrogens, particularly one group called thiocyanates. The consequence of eating these is the potential to develop the very serious condition of hypothyroidism. What is hypothyroidism? Well, do you or have you ever experienced any of these symptoms? Fatigue and low energy levels, unexplained weight gain, depression, slow heart rate, intolerance to cold temperatures, fatigued and achy muscles, dry, coarse skin, puffy face, hair loss, constipation, problems with concentration. If you said yes to any of these, then you're a candidate for being hypothyroid. And I would be looking at broccoli as the prime candidate for causing this. And it is not just goitrogens you need to be worrying about. Broccoli is loaded with formaldehyde, a natural byproduct of oxidization and which is known to cause cancer in rats. Formaldehyde is used in the manufacturing of plastics, foam insulation, fungicides, mirrors, insecticides, petroleum, resins, and industrial chemicals. No one in their right mind would eat any of these things. So when you see this list, just add broccoli to it as well. But the biggest thing you need to know about it is what I like to call the dirty little secret of the organic food industry. Organic food is good for you, right? Because it doesn't contain any pesticides. Wrong. Broccoli is overloaded with natural pesticides, which are part of the plant's natural defense system against harm. And what you're not being told by Big Organic is that half of those pesticides, when tested on laboratory animals, have been shown to cause cancer. Well, at least organic broccoli doesn't contain any human-made pesticides, I hear you say. Sorry, but organic growers are able to use, if they wish, natural pesticides, as they are not required to tell you about it. Many of these natural pesticides are actually more toxic than synthetic pesticides. To make things even worse, there is no national monitoring system for these natural pesticides, as is the case for the system in place for synthetic ones. Organic broccoli, you may as well be using Roundup for your salad dressing and get your toxic cancer-causing pesticides hit on the one go rather than eat it. And remember those thiocyanates, as I mentioned earlier? Well, those too can cause bladder cancer in rats. We have graphic warning signs about cancer on cigarette packets. So why do health authorities continue to sit on their hands and take no action against broccoli? So that was all, like I said, in his words, a parody. And he's trying to show you like how they get you, how they get you, kind of like the fear-mongering type thing. So now it's the end of parody. And he says the rest of this blog post is legit. Time for a reality check, he says. Broccoli is awesome and is super healthy for you. And I rate it as one of the best foods you could be eating. And remember, this guy is a nutritional scientist. He says it contains a host of nutrients linked to reducing cancer risk. On top of that, it is high in fiber, low in kijoules, I don't know what that word is, sorry, I'm not a scientist, and is packed with lots of nutrients such as vitamin C and K, and is a good source of vitamin A, folate, and potassium. So what about all these alarming health concerns I read about? Ignore them. Most of them are theoretical, as lack any context of dose. Just about anything will cause cancer of the everything in rats if you give it a high enough dose. Although if you have low iodine levels and were at risk of hypothyroidism, you would be wise not to be eating several kilograms of raw broccoli each day. Organic broccoli is good for you. Conventional broccoli is good for you. There are thousands of other things you could worry about to do with your health rather than tiny doses of natural or synthetic pesticides. He goes on to state, and I'm almost done, by selectively quoting research, you can build a case for or against any food, if that was your agenda. Throw in some emotive language and you've got yourself a winner for getting the public's attention. You can then make quite a bit of money out of doing this, from book sales and building up a large social media following. I resonated with that so much because I can't tell you the countless times that friends that have gotten really into, like, you know, wellness bloggers or whatever they are on social media, and they will then try to give me advice based on what this person has said. Like, I've healed my thyroid by going gluten-free. And my friend will be like, you really shouldn't eat that gluten. It's like, or it's actually not usually my close friends. It's often just someone that, who knows? Like, I will randomly mention, like, yeah, I got hypothyroidism. Don't even have a thyroid gland anymore. My body just decided to eat it. And then someone will have read something online and be like, well, you really should eat that gluten. So-and-so says she's healed her thyroid by avoiding gluten, avoiding things like nightshades or broccoli. I've heard broccoli and cauliflower before and tomatoes, all the things. And I'm like, hey, cool. Those things are actually pretty good for you. Also, I don't have a gland. How can I heal something that's not there? Also, let's focus on the bigger picture here. I'm sure I'm doing far more dangerous things to my body, like walking alone at night on my ranch when there's mountain lions. Maybe. Let's talk about that, okay? So thank God people like Tim Crow exist to just kind of keep us back on track. So yes, sure, the majority of these influencers are white women with seemingly endless access to money to buy organic this and that and have opinions on everything under the sun. Gwyneth Paltrow of Goop being the top of the celebrity turned food gurus at astronomical costs. Here are just a few of the things you can expect from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop when you access her site. If you go to the wellness tab, you can get a G-Tox 7-Day Reset Kit for $195. I read the ingredients in a few of the pouches. It seems like there's a lot of flaxseed and a lot of chia seeds, so stay close to a bathroom, okay? For $38, you can purchase a Secret Garden Salad Plate. It's an elegant way to spruce up a salad. It's a plate. And one of my favorite things on here, for a whopping $999, is a Skyview Wellness Table Lamp. $999, promising to bring the biological benefits of natural light indoors. Open a window. Step outside. It's free.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
And her cookbooks share her superfood recipes. And if you're really hoping to be annoyed, you can get an autographed version on her site for $45 with the title on it. This is what it's called. It's All Easy. For who, Gwyneth? Is it easy for the single mom getting off work in an area of town where they don't sell chia seeds in abundance? Is it easy for everyone to buy organic greens and make sure your kids' tummies are full off of an $8 bunch of kale? But this is all based on the strict diet of Gwyneth Paltrow. Her second book, based on a diet she adopted after her own health problems, led her to the realization that she was intolerant to certain foods. Contained only recipes in that book that were free of dairy, eggs, sugar, meat, soy, coffee, alcohol, and deep water fish. Reviewers slammed the book for promoting quack science, and The Guardian described it as food phobic. Insert orthorexia nervosa here. This was a term I only learned about from researching this, and it's pretty interesting, and I'm not poking fun at this or, you know, it's a new term, and it may describe some of what's going on here.
She struggled with what's known as orthorexia, a little known term coined in the late 90s to describe what she was going through.
You can lose 10 pounds in a week or 30 pounds in 15 days.
Diet trends on social media are driving up cases.
Couple that with an obsession with body image and eating in our culture anyway, and dieting, it's just a deadly combination.
Orthorexia and anorexia sometimes go hand in hand, but each have very distinct definitions. Orthorexia is the obsession with the quality of food. Anorexia, on the other hand, focuses on the quantity.
It's really a fear about not eating clean enough or eating pure enough or being fit enough, and that can lead to extreme weight loss.
Orthorexia is an unhealthy focus on eating in a healthy way. Eating nutritious food is good, but if you have orthorexia, you obsess about it to a degree that can damage your overall well-being. Although not formally recognized in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, awareness about orthorexia is on the rise. The term was coined in 1998 and means an obsession with proper or healthful eating. Although being aware of and concerned with the nutritional quality of the food you eat isn't a problem in and of itself, people with orthorexia become so fixated on so-called healthy eating that they actually damage their own well-being. Some of the warning signs and symptoms of orthorexia include compulsive checking of ingredient lists and nutritional labels, an increase in concern about the health of ingredients, cutting out an increasing number of food groups, all sugar, all carbs, all dairy, all meat, etc., an inability to eat anything but a narrow group of foods that are deemed healthy or pure, an unusual interest in the health of what others are eating, spending hours per day thinking about what food might be served at upcoming events, showing high levels of distress when safe or healthy foods aren't available, obsessive following of food and healthy lifestyle blogs on Twitter and Instagram. On top of what I just read to you, you can find scholarly articles titled Orthorexia, Tendency in Social Media Addiction, Orthorexia Through Online Social Media, and Social Media Use Increased Symptoms of Orthorexia. Like I stated earlier with Gwyneth Paltrow and with Belle Gibson, who you'll hear about next episode, oftentimes to succeed in the influencer wellness community, you need to have a good story, a good hook of what got you there. Did you have a health problem? Did someone in your family have a major health scare that caused you to wake up and discover this thing? You need to craft your con around something that really pulls at the heartstrings, which is exactly what Belle did, but in a very extreme way. But there's other people besides her. There's a lot of people like Pete Evans out there who just blindly promote stuff that is extremely harmful. Pete is a proponent of the paleo diet. He's also been called Australia's most controversial chef. And he's constantly giving medical advice online. Very dangerous. One of his books, the worst probably, is Bubba Yum Yum, The Paleo Way for New Moms, Babies, and Toddlers. It was actually dropped by the publisher in 2015, but Pete is so arrogant, he went on and self-published it afterwards. But do you know why it was dropped? Because health authorities demanded he be stopped. Because he created a homemade infant formula recipe that contained livers and bone broth, which the health authorities warned could potentially kill babies. So he's forced to pull it by his publisher, and he goes on and self-publishes something that could kill babies on his own, because he is so convinced he's right. He's also claimed that the paleo diet can help shrink tumors and lead to cancer remissions, and he also claims the caveman diet can help with other medical conditions like Alzheimer's disease. And here's his bio. Pete Evans is an internationally renowned chef, restaurateur, entrepreneur, keynote speaker, author, television presenter, and documentary producer. He also has a podcast called Evolve with Pete Evans, exploring nutritional and emotional well-being. His passion for food and healthy lifestyle inspires individuals and families around the world. Now, I didn't see Dr. Scientist, and I also saw the word exploring. Pete Evans likes to explore nutritional and emotional well-being, but he likes to explore it by telling millions of people about it without actually knowing what he's talking about. But all jokes aside, not that, you know, promoting something that could potentially kill a baby is a joke, but this subject does get very, very tragic. Jess Ainscough is a story that really breaks my heart. Jess Ainscough, aka the Wellness Warrior, was diagnosed with a rare cancer at the age of 22. The Wellness Warrior was a name she went by and also the name of her popular blog, which was sharing her personal story of using alternative cancer treatments, which was a huge risk. Jess was diagnosed with epithelioid sarcoma on April 24th, 2008, following a biopsy of lumps removed from her left arm and hand. From the initial diagnosis, Ainscough recalls being informed that the sarcoma was an extremely rare cancer and very difficult to treat. The incidence of sarcoma was reported as 0.4 cases per million in 2005. Surgical oncologist David Goreski has written that without treatment, most succumb to the disease within 10 years. However, with surgical resection, the 10-year survival rate is estimated to be 49% to 72%, with higher survival rates reported in younger patients, just like her. Initially, the only treatment offered to her was an amputation of the affected arm at the shoulder. She reluctantly agreed. However, shortly before the scheduled surgery, her medical team offered an alternative treatment, which was to have an isolated limb perfusion. She consented to chemotherapy and had the procedure in June 2008. The initial scans following chemotherapy showed that the cancer was in remission, but by November the following year, the cancer had returned, and the only treatment option was a four-quarter amputation. She refused to have the amputation and instead turned to alternative cancer treatments. Following her second cancer diagnosis, she began using the Gerson therapy, an extremely controversial and ineffective treatment that consists of 5 daily coffee enemas, raw juices on the hour, every hour, and an organic vegetarian diet. Throughout her 7-year journey fighting the disease, she became a well-known blogger about curing herself from cancer. She got a book deal, and she soon became a celebrity in the field, appearing at various health conventions, doing keynote speeches, and she was Australia's best-known cancer-fighting wellness guru. In addition, her mother, Sharon, followed her daughter in advocating for the Gerson therapy after being diagnosed with breast cancer, but she died in 2013. After her mother passed away, she posted to her website and said that she'd become unwell, attributing this to her mother's death. For the first time in my almost 7-year journey with cancer, this year I've been really unwell. I've lived with cancer since 2008, and for most of those years, my condition was totally stable. When my mom became really ill, my cancer started to become aggressive again. After she died, things really started flaring up. For the past few months, I've been pretty much bedridden. And then in December 2014, she wrote in her blog that she had returned to conventional medical care to treat a large fumigating tumor under her left shoulder that had been bleeding nonstop for 10 months, leaving her weak and uncomfortable. Under the care of an oncologist, she received 6 weeks of radiation therapy in the final weeks of her life. Responding to her death, John Dwyer of Friends of Science in Medicine warned of the risk of bowel perforation associated with coffee enemas and said, "There is no credible scientific evidence for any of these alternative treatments that claim to cure cancer." Adding that, "It can be difficult for people to tell what claims are unscientific and what are not." And whether she ever directly claimed to have cured her cancer is difficult to ascertain, as her blog, The Wellness Warrior, with 1.5 million followers, has been deleted. However, examples alluding to the Gerson therapy successfully treating her cancer can be found. In an article titled, "I'm Healing Myself from Cancer Naturally," written by her for the teen magazine she once edited, she wrote, "I am ecstatic to report that it has worked for me. I have no cancer spread, no more lumps pop up, and they were popping up rapidly before, and I can actually see some of my tumors coming out through my skin and disappearing." In an article for The Guardian, a medical perspective on the passing of Jess Ainscoe. As we reported here yesterday, 30-year-old Jess Ainscoe, known as the Wellness Warrior, has died from cancer after being diagnosed with a rare form at 22. She chose to reject all forms of traditional medicine and embark upon an evangelical path of alternative treatments, none of which had any scientific evidence of success. Of course, Jess had every right to choose how to treat her illness. Where this becomes more complex and troubling is the evangelism Jess took to her treatment while projecting an image that she was the picture of health. She amassed tens of thousands of followers, sold books and products, and influenced many, many people. A young woman has died, and that is a tragedy no matter how or why it happened. However, by living her life as a crusader against traditional medicine and advocate for natural cancer treatment, it's impossible, and some would say irresponsible to ignore the circumstances surrounding Jess Ainscoe's death. Regardless, it's extremely sad. May she rest in peace. And next week, Belle Gibson, the woman who only met Jess once, but showed up to her funeral in the most theatric of fashions, just days before her scandal and lies about her health hit the news. It's going to be a big one, guys. I hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. And until next week, I love you, and I'll see you soon. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It really helps the show. Thank you so much.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.